There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Right from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
What in the world?
Unsolved Mysteries is back.
What?
Have you been watching it?
I have.
It's really very sad. There's a lot of sad stories in the new Unsolved Mysteries, but one thing that honestly made me kind of like, I'm gonna use the word triggered, is that they have, like, you know, Netflix has the button, the skip intro button, right? That you could like click to could skip the intro. I was like, this is Unsolved Mysteries. We are gonna fucking skip the intro. The one, because they do a little callback, they do a shadowy callback to Robert Stack where he just appears through his cancer smoke. And it's so nice to see his grizzled face, but I don't understand. Being like, what kind of fucking monster? What kind of sacrilege?
Sure.
We are not. We're going to sit here, we're going to watch Unsolved Mysteries, and we're not going to sit on the couch doing robot dances to.
I say, only watch the intro back to back to back to back to back to back. Skipping the intro is like skipping the first part of the movie up. You can't get to the joy until you see the sadness.
I hate the beginning up. I hate the way Pixar manipulates my emotions. I don't want to feel these things. I don't want to think about my father.
Welcome to the last podcast on the left, everyone. I am Ben Kissel, staring at the beautiful face of Marcus Parks.
Hi, staring at me through a computer screen, more like.
Absolutely. And of course, Henry Zebrowski as well. You know, last week's episode, Lobotomies, people loved it. They expanded their minds as we were talking about destroying the minds of others. And this,
see how he skipped the tall whites? See how he skipped it because how maligned he was and how upset he's still about it? And well, how tender that moment was for him?
Well, it was a little tender, and I didn't quite realize how people were going to make a lot of different kind of jokes. And then they'd be like, is this episode about Ben's family? And then I said, no, it's not. And then even the last podcast, Instagram, was so kind to post a picture of my family on the Instagram next to aliens. So, yes, I am skipping the tall whites, the episode that never happened, of course.
But we're trying to cover the people that have been specifically affected by lobotomies. And then I got really into, because we're basically talking about Rosemary Kennedy.
Yes.
And I have been trying to figure out a way to also talk about, like, I wanted to find interesting stuff about, like, rich old families hiding away, like, a deformed family member. So, like, you know, because for some reason in my mind, I'm like, I'm thinking like Leonardo DiCaprio, Man in the Iron Mask.
Ooh.
Like some kind of like romantic, like weird gothic tale. And then when you start really looking into it, it is, it's some of the most depressing, fucked up, horrible stories that have ever existed.
Yeah.
It's devastating, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you think throwing away lobotomized family members was going to be a lighthearted subject?
I don't know what I thought, and it just shows that what this business does to the human mind is irreversible.
I completely
agree.
Let's
look at the fun side of child abuse.
I just try to find something that was interesting, and I thought it was interesting, and then you start to realize, oh, I am the observant monster. I'm the man in the walled away room.
Wow.
But I have a computer that takes me anywhere.
Isn't that the powerful message? You are, it's like Johnny Depp in the movie Secret Window. It was him the whole time.
You just ruined the movie.
It was out for 25 years. Also,
you just ruined the movie.
Speaking
of
speaking of lobotomies, I had a chance to drive all across country this week, which was amazing. Some of the people, apparently lobotomies are still happening, judging by the cheese chalet I drove by in Wisconsin. Those people might not necessarily be fully equipped mentally, but I just got to say this. For everyone saying that this country is full, it is not. This country is so damn empty. So if anyone wants to come here, I can sell you a plot of land. All of Utah.
It's empty, but a lot of it's protected.
It is empty.
But you can go in there. There's not a lot of people watching it. That's just the truth. You can go and camp in there. If you're an illegal, you can go out there deep into the Natural Arches Museum. And they have no clue. All the different spaces, they don't know that you're there. So just go set up camp. Just don't fuck with the rocks or the cactuses.
Don't mess with the rocks. As a matter of fact, though, I've seen some people undocumented folks could just replace. And I think that would be great.
I think that they should. And the Midwest is doing a good job. They're trying to fill all that empty space with just their bodies.
They're filling it up.
But that's also, we try to keep the show, we try to keep Last Podcast on the Left timeless. Like, honestly, we try not to put too many markers of, like, what time period we're doing it. But sure. I will say, because of COVID-19, we're all separated into our own homes. Kissel is, we're going to see what kind of T-virus takes over Kissel's body as he sampled the country's different thing. But Kissel's good. He took care of himself. And he said there were 90% of people across this country actually act like there is a disease rampant.
I don't know about 90%, but there was 8% of people that seemed to know we were in a pandemic. Certainly, I do want to apologize to hotel. My dogs did defecate quite a bit in that hotel room. I did have to pay a healthy fine. For that, I didn't realize
that.
That
you got the call from the hotel manager who was like, hey, yeah, this is Jerry from my hotel. I'm calling to let you know I know what you did.
That's what he said. And I was like, what happened? He's like, you know what you did. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, you know what you did. And then they just charged me a bunch. But I didn't realize if you feed dogs nothing but a diet of gas station burritos and beef jerky, they're just like us.
Yeah.
And then they have bodies too.
Yeah.
And anyway, all I know is that those dogs are very happy not to be living like Eileen Wuornos's next victim.
Yeah, dogs don't have like the ability to know to go like, let me in the bathroom, I'm gonna go, I gotta go, let me in. They don't have that.
No, they don't.
Just shit.
But they definitely have the ability to stare at you as they piss in a corner of a room that they know they shouldn't be, and they know that you know that they shouldn't be, and then they're very mad at you and they stare at you and piss, and it's like so powerful.
It is so powerful. This is what being a father is, Kissel. And I honestly feel like your buddy Dave Kohler, and who's designed a lot of work for the art of the Last Podcast Network over the years, I think that he also has the ability to just piss in a corner and stare at you angrily.
Oh, yeah. We call that the old Omaha water fountain.
Ugh.
All right, so are we ready to get into some further tragedies of lobotomies?
You know what? I've never been more excited.
I can't wait. I'm getting my ice pick ready right now. I love this.
Now, when we did our series on lobotomies, we covered many of the failures that came as a result of the procedure. But we neglected to mention the most famous of all failed lobotomies, JFK's sister, Rosemary Kennedy. Mm. And that's part of what we'll be covering today.
So whose brain had it worse, JFK or Rosalind Kennedy?
Rosemary.
I to be completely frank, I think at least JFK, whatever happened to him, it happened quick.
Yep. That's true.
In 1941, Rosemary Kennedy was subjected to a lobotomy at the hands of the infamous Walter Freeman, years before the ice pick lobotomy became Freeman's procedure of choice. With Rosemary Kennedy, Walter Freeman was still drilling holes in the sides of heads and cutting cores from the frontal lobes in an attempt to solve whatever mental or behavioral problems the patients might have.
This is absolutely incredible. What I found here, I took several cores out of this young Irishman's head and I found an emerald. This is amazing. I'm making money.
That's incredible. Great work, doctor.
But before we get specifically into Rosemary's lobotomy, let's give a little bit more background on the Kennedy family, as it was laid out by Emmanuel Hapsis on an article about Rosemary Kennedy featured on KQED.org.
We're just going to go into the history of the Kennedys real quick. We're just going to breeze over the most dynastic family in American history, just as a side note to our lobotomy series.
Straight up, the Kennedys, they can be summed up with bad back, love boats, and love yelling at dinner. That is mostly what they did.
Don't forget murder.
Well, I mean, you got to realize that's the funny thing about it is that we did 6 parts on JFK and we barely scratched the surface of the Kennedy family itself in the history of the Kennedy family. It's very long. It's a very rich story, but it's also a very, very tragic story.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that we didn't really talk about all that much on our Kennedy series is the Kennedy curse.
Yes.
Specifically, this deadly bit of hoodoo applied to the generation of Kennedy children that included both JFK and RFK.
Yeah, the Kennedy curse is actually is that on your every fifth boner, it goes backwards.
I thought I had to take a dump, but it was the Kennedy curse.
Can you feel the head of my cock pushing against the back of my asshole? I hate the Kennedy curse.
This man needs a lobotomy.
Of course, we know both JFK and RFK were assassinated in the 60s, but the deaths of the Kennedy children began long before that. In World War II, Joe Kennedy Jr., the Kennedy who was supposed to be president instead of JFK, was killed in action.
He's like the one that they all loved, right? He was like the shining star of the family. He was the Jeb.
Yeah. He was Jeb. Being groomed for president. And after JFK and RFK were killed, their sister Kathleen died in a plane crash in France. RFK's mother and father-in-law died in a plane crash. Ted Kennedy almost died in a plane crash and also killed that woman.
Yes, he did.
He killed a woman. That kind of gets, you know, brushed over quite a bit, but he did kill that woman. Him and Matthew Broderick.
You know, every once in a while, him and Matthew Broderick, they wink at each other. They'll Skype. They're like, remember?
If you bring the star of the producers into this, Matthew Broderick felt bad about drinking and driving and killing that person. Ted Kennedy could have saved her. You know, there were scratch marks on the top of the car's roof. So that means the woman was trying to get out, and it took like 8 hours for her to die. And you know what Ted Kennedy did? This is true. He got back to the hotel, and he complained to the manager that his neighbors were being too loud. I swear to God, that's a true story.
That is, I mean, what can you do? You know, he had priorities, and a big thing was keeping up his Hotels.com platinum status, which requires you to put in reviews every once in a while. And that's a job in and of itself.
Absolutely.
You want to get those discounts.
This Kennedy family is like so scary. If you find out that one of them are on your plane, it's like the movie Final Destination. You have got to get off. If you're just like waiting on your Delta flight and they're like, Bob Kennedy, please report Bob Kennedy.
Oh, I'll rent a car and drive. It's like we got that new fucking redheaded, whatever that guy is, the new Kennedy, whatever he crawled out from under a rock. I don't know who that kid is.
I think he went back underneath the rock.
I hope so, because, again, he should be traveling by fucking train.
Yeah. Frickin' John Madden, he lost one football team, never flew again. The Kennedys, they have lost their entire family, and all they do is do air travel.
Yeah, and then finally there was JFK Jr. in 1999, who also died in the plane crash. And his memory now has to deal with the indignity of being involved in the QAnon conspiracy as a man who faked his death in order to take down the elite Satanist pedophile cabal from behind the scenes. And JFK Jr. is even thought by some QAnon believers to return from the dead this year to run as Trump's new VP.
Honestly,
I take it. Yeah. I would take it.
I'm going to say the sentence, big if true. If all of that turns out to be true, and then like Andy Kaufman has come back from the dead and puts on a hell of a performance, I'd be really happy.
I'd be really happy. You make fucking Elvis Presley still alive. He's 95 years old or 108. I don't know how old he'd be now. And you make him like in charge of HUD. You know what I mean? I'm fine with it.
And then there was Rosemary. Now, the story that I've always heard about Rosemary was that Joe Kennedy Sr., JFK's father, gave his difficult daughter a lobotomy and locked her away in the Kennedy attic until she died.
Right.
Now, that isn't quite true, but it certainly runs perpendicular to the truth.
Ooh.
Rosemary was indeed born with developmental disabilities, but those disabilities were a result of medical incompetence, not genetics.
Oh, so the story is worse.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying.
No, I swear I don't keep choosing stories involving plagues on purpose. But Rosemary was born in 1918, the same year that the Spanish flu killed millions of people across the globe.
It just happens every once in a while, and it seems to be an important part of history, and that we continue to ignore as if we shouldn't prepare for further pandemics.
Yeah.
No, America was hit just as hard as everyone else. and the Kennedy family was living in Boston by the time Rose Kennedy was ready to give birth to Rosemary. But since so many people in Boston were infected with the Spanish flu, the Kennedy family physician had a ton of sick and dying patients to attend to before he could get around to dropping by the Kennedy home to deliver Rosemary.
Oh, see, I don't think that that's right. I think if you're a doctor, you have to prioritize the new. If you have someone who is dying of the Spanish flu, it's like, all right, but we got a baby to deliver here. The next generation, we need to seed Boston for the future.
Hey, dude, this is 1918. He's already out in the field. He doesn't know that Rose Kennedy has gone into labor yet. He's just out there taking care of people every single day because he's a doctor. That's what he's got to do. Ah. So he doesn't find out until hours later that she has gone into labor.
I would say, Kissel, you should save your which people are obsolete like tallies for when you're running for office. I think it's a really important time to really state who needs to be let go and the levels of people that need to be let go.
I'm just saying, if you have someone who has COVID, but then someone's given birth right next to them, you got to go catch the football. You got to catch the baby.
Yeah, if they're right in front of you, it's like if I'm sitting here eating a sandwich and I see a woman giving birth in front of me, I'll go and help the birth. And even though
the sandwich
will probably take a lot of, because some sandwiches, let's all relate here for a second. Some sandwiches you got to keep hands on the entire time you're eating them. You can't put it down if you wanted to, because the sandwiches will fall. They'll fall apart due to the slippery nature of some of the items on the sandwich, or just simply the amount of meat that you decided to pile on there. And yeah, I would choose getting a baby out of a woman's vagina. I'd be there going like, give it to me,
right,
instead of making sure my sandwich stayed together, because it takes a whole 3 minutes to put it back together.
Oh my God, it's a waking nightmare. And once it's fallen apart, you're never actually putting it back together.
It's never the fucking same.
Like this chick.
But the thing here is that if...
What do you mean, just like this chick? Jesus Christ.
Chick
we had you pulled
about,
out. We had you pulled out of the fire. We pulled you out of the fire,
Marcus,
and then you jumped back in.
It's 1918. She's a Kennedy. They're a murderous rampage on the society.
But the thing here is that if not for medical incompetence, none of that would have mattered. See, there was a nurse present who could have delivered the baby, and the baby was indeed ready to come out. But for reasons I can't fathom, the nurse instead ordered Rosemary's mother to keep her legs closed until the doctor arrived.
What?
Oh my God, so she did the fucking Brett the Hitman Hart, was the sharpshooter on her fetus?
What do you mean? How is that possible?
She just closed her legs like the baby is crowning. It's starting to come out of the vagina, and the nurse is saying, close the legs. The doctor's not here yet. You got to wait for the doctor.
It's not
making any sense.
She turtle-headed the baby?
And when the baby refused to wait, when she couldn't keep her fucking legs closed anymore, the nurse actually pushed the baby's head back into the birth canal and held it there for 2 hours.
What's harder than just giving birth to the fucking baby?
And this baffling decision kept oxygen from reaching baby Rosemary, which resulted in lifelong developmental disabilities.
Oh.
As Henry said, much worse. At 2 years old, when other toddlers are learning how to talk and in some cases run, Rosemary could hardly sit up or even crawl. And what was even more unfortunate was that the Kennedys at the time were caught up in the eugenics craze.
Oh, no way. What a surprise.
For the uninitiated, eugenics is a highly discredited belief that society can be engineered into a utopia through a process of selective breeding. And eugenics was based in large part on the genetic experiments Thomas Hunt Morgan had done on fruit flies.
Mm.
Now, Morgan completely distanced himself from eugenics, saying that he barely understood what the fuck was going on with the fruit flies, much less how such theories could be applied to humans.
I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say, honestly, I'm not a good doctor, and I just killed a bunch of flies. That's really all I did. You should have seen what I did to the frogs. No one should pay attention to me.
There's a great American Experience documentary called The Eugenics Crusade, which lays out the whole history of eugenics. It's fucking fascinating. Of course, as we know, eugenics led to the Nazis.
Of course, you know who else believes in eugenics? LeVar Ball of the Ball family, Triple B brand. He talks about it all the time. He's the dad of these basketball players, all of these kids. Lonzo Ball, he used to be a Laker. Now I forget where he's playing. But he talks about it all the time, how he picked his wife. He said this in front of his wife in an interview. I picked her out because she was going to be good for breeding. And then she's just like, yes, yes, he did.
Yes,
and I was
he
like,
did.
This is
yes.
so
and
weird.
I showed him how much. I took an apple. And I put it inside of myself till it became a grapefruit.
Wow.
It was incredible. Yeah, my vagina can do so much pressure in there.
But so people still believe in this stuff. Nugenics, we talked about that. That's where Frank Thomas, he's still plugging this product called Nugenics, which sounds a lot like new eugenics.
This idea that people with quote-unquote bad genes automatically give birth to more people with quote-unquote bad genes took off specifically among rich elites, who tend to look on the lower classes as little more than animals whose only purpose is to make those elites richer.
And that thought has been around since the beginning of classes began. Like this idea that, because what it does is create a validation system of why we're so rich and the poor are so poor, and why we're going to make them poorer and poorer, because their jobs are to use their bodies literally to the death to build our empires, because we would not be here if not for our excellent breeding and where we came from, which is also the weird classist implications of the reptilians and that concept, like all this kind of weird shit of the idea that there are strains of nobles, like the black nobility, that were the reason why they're at the top of the heap. It was because a fucking million years ago, reptilians chose their line of chimps to have sex with.
Oh, no kidding. Big old boobies on them chimps there, perhaps.
If you were going to pick one, I'd pick one that's got the nicest, roundest bottom and the biggest top.
Absolutely, sure, or not. Whatever is beautiful. If you, Rupert Murdoch, that the idea that rich people, thank you, the idea that rich people are somehow more capable than poor people is ridiculous. If you put a pebble on the ground and gave Rupert Murdoch a broom to clean it up, he would just end up shoving it up his ass. Like, he has no idea what he's doing. Like, the man cannot do anything. He's the size of
a
small worm.
Tell me why did you give me this mustache on a stick?
Well, eugenics was the idea that you are genetically poor. That like poor that it is your fault that you were poor because you have bad genes, or it's your fault that you're a drunk or you're chronically unemployed. It all comes down to bad genes. And if we stop those people from breeding with each other, then we can form this fantastic utopia in which everybody is a white middle to upper class person.
Okay.
And then they be using the police and the educational systems, they created a version of the genetically poor, or they are attempting to, creating a whole group of people where it's almost impossible for them to get out of that situation.
Well, I think they succeeded on that front.
Well, since the Kennedys were firmly a part of that rich elite class, they were terrified that their rich friends would see Rosemary through a eugenics lens, and therefore the Kennedys would be considered carriers of those bad genes.
Meanwhile, all the rest of the sons had permanent health problems already. Like, they all already were born with health problems.
I mean, I guess it's easier. I guess it's hard to explain that, like, the nurse pushed her back in. Like, I guess that's, like, a hard thing to bring up every single time someone's like, so what's wrong? You know, like, what's wrong with your daughter? Be like, the nurse kept her in the oven too long.
Well,
like,
that's where Zazzle really would have helped back in the day, because you could have made a t-shirt that just you could put on her that just said, the nurse pushed my head back in. And that's how you know that you're slower. I mean that's how you know.
Not genetics. Nurse did it.
Furthermore, the Kennedys were famously Catholic. And to this day, I read an article in which this happened in January of this year. Some Catholic priests refuse to give communion or confirmation to the intellectually disabled because they say they don't have the cognitive ability to choose Christ.
What?
Yep. And there's also a rule that the Catholic
church does not hold priests accountable for children made by priests and breaking their rule of celibacy. They literally are allowed to have, they can be forgiven for breaking their rule of celibacy, but they are not allowed to take on the child, like by the church. So the children, they continue to exist however they exist, but they go, whoopsie doo, my penis made a bad one. And then they get to go and do the Hail Mary pass to God, and then it's fine.
The old Doug Flutie move there. Well, that's really unfortunate because everyone loves a cracker. And I feel like if you're in line, you know, you got...
If you think the fucking Eucharist is a cracker, then you're eating the wrong crackers, my friend, because they're far more luxurious, buttery, crispier crackers than a Eucharist.
I'm not lying to you. My Catholic church changed up the Eucharist because people were like, this one's not very good. And they changed it up. Swear to you, they might as well put a dollop of frickin' cheddar cheese on it, like liquid cheese whiz or something. That's next. They're just going to be like, and this is the Eucharist. There's a little ham on top. You'll notice that.
Spray cheese into each one of their fucking mouths.
But perhaps most pressing on the Kennedys' minds were their political aspirations. Mm. Having a disabled daughter wasn't a good look in the first half of the 20th century, and Joe Kennedy had a plan to install one of his sons in the White House one day. The Kennedys' opinions on the disabled only got worse in 1934 when Joe Jr. went to Germany, where the eugenic theories that were getting big in America were colliding with the Ariosophic ideas of a master race of Aryans.
Yikes.
Oh, and the worst group of fucking think tank dudes since the people that came up with the double down. Is what you're saying.
Ooh, don't mess with the KFC double down. It gets your fingers all greasy, but it gets your tummy all nice and full. Keep it in.
Keep it in. I think that's a good new slogan for KFC. Keep it down.
Keep it down. Keep it in. Never poop.
Well, after the visit, Joe Jr., who would eventually die fighting the Nazis, became a convert to Hitler's program of sterilizing disabled Germans, which most agree was Hitler's first step towards the Holocaust. Joe Jr. wrote to Joe Sr. that he believed the sterilization law was, quote, a great thing, and that the program would do away with many of the, quote, disgusting specimens of men which inhabit this earth. And to this, Joe Jr. simply replied, quote,
I think your conclusions are very sound.
Well, these people can barely even stand up. Their heads are so big. Their legs are so tiny. What is wrong with the Kennedy family? I just don't understand how they had the ego to even begin thinking that they were supposed to be American royalty. That's a whole nother thing if we ever get into the dynasty. I wonder where it all started.
It started with Joe Jr. or Joe Sr. It started with Joe Sr.
Like, just he one was the dude one was just like, well, I'm putting my son in the White House.
That, yeah, it was his idea. He was the one that, I mean, it's much more complicated than that, and there are other people involved in it. But yeah, Joe Sr. was kind of the guy that said, like, the Kennedys are going to be big in America. Like, okay. The Kennedys are going to be huge. And, you know, really, like, Joe Sr. and Joe Jr. are really the only gigantic pieces of shit, except maybe Ted. But we'll get later into how all of this affected JFK personally.
Okay.
So when it became obvious that Rosemary was one of what they considered to be disgusting specimens, they shipped her off to various boarding schools and institutions while lying to their friends and family, saying that Rosemary was doing just fine. Now, Rosemary's development did improve when Joe Sr. was appointed ambassador to the United Kingdom, and the whole family temporarily relocated to England. But when World War II got serious for Londoners, the Kennedys returned to the United States.
Like, oh, I've had enough of these different type of French fries. They're starting to explode things. And I just became Forrest Gump doing the Kennedys. Somehow, I got here with my Boston accent.
I love Forrest Kennedy. I think he's going to make it big one day.
After they returned to the United States, Rosemary, who is now 22 years old, regressed, flying into violent rages in which she would physically attack others to the point of injury. And after bouncing around a few schools, she was eventually sent to a convent school in D.C.
I don't think any of the way they are treating her helped her condition in any way, shape, or form.
No.
It seemed that she, especially this type of like malpractice, like things that happen to children and affect your brain. It's just really crazy to see how the structure of your brain is like real important to how you behave. Like, it just the size and shape of it has to be as the production line was supposed to make it. And if you make it look like a peanut in any way, shape, or form, you're just not going to be right.
You know, people are always getting tattoos to be unique and stuff. You know, with Play-Doh, you can have like the star when you push the Play-Doh through. Maybe we can do that with women, with the vagina. We'll put little molds, and then you can have like a star kid, and you can have like a kid that has like a triangle head, and like a kid that has like a cool, I mean, I don't know, just kind of fun.
It's mind-boggling. That's mind-boggling and horrifying. But also at the same time, I'd see it. You know, I'd look at it and I'd be like, wow, you did that. I don't know what it would do to them, but if they were forming in a weird way, I somehow came around to understanding you, Kissel. Like if they managed to do it while the brain was forming, maybe they'd be normal if you could shape it from inside of the uterus.
That's what I'm saying. And then it's just kind of fun that everyone's different.
You know, the human brain, like the human skull, when a child is first born, the brain, the skull is very malleable.
Yes.
You can shape the skull in all sorts of different fun ways. So, I don't know. I mean, third act?
My thing is that if your head becomes shaped like the Statue of Liberty, I don't know if you're going to be able to come out of the vagina.
Oh, well, they got C-sections and stuff like C-section. That. That's not the problem.
Oh, good. Yeah, this is good. Good. Yeah, Henry, covered. That's all
not
covered.
Even using your fucking brain right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
come
Henry,
on,
that's
man.
Ridiculous.
I'm sorry. I'm dumb. I must have some sort of teardrop-shaped brain inside of my skull. I don't know what's going on.
So, Rosemary gets sent to a convent school in Washington, D.C., and when she started sneaking out at night, because, you know, she's 22 years old. She's living with a bunch of fucking nuns. Of course she's going to sneak out at night.
Yeah, sure.
But the nuns became convinced that the only reason why Rosemary was doing this was to have illicit sex with multiple men.
Ooh. No, she was trying to get a fucking, like, soda pop at the old school pharmacist where they just pull it out of the machine. Like, she was trying to see a park bench.
A moment of freedom. So, worried that having an unpredictable sister might prevent one of his sons from reaching the White House, Joe Kennedy started asking doctors if there was another option here.
Uh-oh.
And that's when Joe was told about a new procedure called the lobotomy.
Oh, no.
Yes, caught her brain. Can we then get, maybe we could put some sort of gun up her butt and shoot through her esophagus up through the top of her head? Huh? I'm just spitballing here.
Now it's sort of like a chimney sweep.
What was most outrageous about this decision to have a lobotomy was that since Rosemary had been diagnosed as, in the parlance of the times, this is what it was called at the time, mentally retarded, only Joe's consent was necessary to approve the procedure. Ooh, they didn't need to even tell the mother.
Wow, he could just go get her brain poked?
Didn't need Rosemary's permission, didn't need the mother's permission. Joe could just fucking do it because that's how the law was set up. Because people who were developmentally disabled had no rights in any way whatsoever.
Yeah.
Damn.
As it was, Rosemary's mother wasn't even told that it was happening until after it happened.
Why didn't the mother have any say in the rearing of this child? She wasn't even allowed to give birth to it on her own terms. I feel like this is, hopefully we've gotten better on that front.
There is a stripe of this idea of being like, well, my husband makes those decisions, like that type of thought process where they just don't even think about anything because Joe Sr. was a quote unquote very important man. Right. Yeah. He was one of these people that was he viewed himself as one of the shapers of our country. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to control the way our entire country went. And those people don't really like think about us as people. And I can't imagine what they think about their own children, their own progeny as their own like as extensions of themselves. To him, she was just some shadow form of his own mind. And he's just like, I'll do it with her whatever I want.
Mm hmm.
And so, in November 1941, Walter Freeman and James Watts, who had not yet left Freeman's side, performed the procedure.
Ooh, both of them.
Yep, both of them. This is back when they were still doing the prefrontal lobotomy. This was not transorbital lobotomy just yet.
Yeah, this is hardcore. This is the worst one.
Yeah. Now, at this point in the evolution of the lobotomy, Watts and Freeman had advanced to the point where they were giving patients local anesthetic, but keeping the patient awake during the procedure to test cognitive ability.
Ooh.
After shaving her head and drilling holes into the side of her skull, Freeman asked Rosemary to tell stories, recite the Lord's Prayer, and, in a move that would be considered a little too on the nose if it was in a movie, asked her to sing God Bless America.
Oh my God, can you imagine? What is a dystopian scene worse than that, than getting a lobotomy from Joe Kennedy Sr. while scream singing God Bless America?
Oh my God. I'm pretty sure that's how Michelle Bachman does gay conversion therapy to this day, though.
But while Rosemary was communicating and Freeman was slicing into her brain with a tool the attending nurse described as a butter knife, Rosemary suddenly became incoherent and stopped talking altogether.
Oh my God. And then that's when you hear the oops.
Yeah.
Which is, what a horrifying moment. Just being like, we'll put some tape on it.
And you know for a fact there was like a record producer next door being like, damn it, she could have been the next Susan Boyle. You all went too far and now she can't sing at all.
Well, this is like in the very early days. Like, they'd done a few dozen lobotomies at this point. This was still very much like, let's see what happens. You know, they don't have it down yet. And once she stopped talking, and once she started being like speaking gibberish and then just went silent altogether, they knew they'd cut too deep.
The procedure
was an unmitigated disaster. And watching these two men casually cut into a young woman's brain as she lost all cognitive ability was so disturbing to the attending nurse that she quit the medical profession altogether immediately afterward.
Oh my God. I imagine that's very traumatizing.
When Rosemary finally came to, she had the mental capacity of a 2-year-old child. She couldn't speak, couldn't walk, and was incontinent for the rest of her long, long life.
Damn.
But Joe told no one what happened.
Well, because I feel like in some way, like, wouldn't you be, I guess you're just not mad, or just, I imagine the way he views the world, this is probably some sort of unfortunate circumstance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That he, oh, what a pity. That this happened.
Yes.
What a shame that this happened.
And then
to the institution, they went and just boarded her up.
Right. I just feel so horrible for the nurse that she had her love of medicine ruined. Very similar to when I got my job at Arby's. I love the beefy cheek. Love the beefy cheek. And then once you
but
see
you don't
it,
want to see how it's
in,
made.
Yeah. Once you see the liquefied whatever that is, it really ruins it for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's pretty close.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Well, Joe sent his daughter to an institution 30 miles north of New York City and told his wife not to visit her own daughter so Rosemary could get accustomed to her new living arrangement.
Ugh.
Joe, you are so correct, and I am so glad that he can tell me how to live, Joe. Tell me, Joe, are these shoes...
Oh, yes, yes, those are shoes. I thought you were going to ask me if those shoes were nice, but we're just going to... Yeah, those are shoes.
May I wear them, Joe?
Yeah, you can wear the shoes. They're shoes.
So. I don't do anything without my husband's permission.
Put them on your feet. You put them on your hands.
Oh, no, sorry. Never really seen these before. I've never operated these before without my husband's permission, so.
Never should have procreated with you.
Well, family and friends were told that Rosemary was off studying to become involved in social work. And Rosemary's own sister, Eunice, didn't know where Rosemary was for over a decade.
Oh, my God.
Eventually, Joe Kennedy had a cottage built for Rosemary at an institution named St. Coletta's. It took 2 decades, 20 years, before Rose finally visited her daughter. And Joe Kennedy never saw Rosemary ever again.
And of course, Saint Colette, that is the saint of chain smoking. And I love her. I love Saint Colette.
Love
She's
her.
The saint of chain smoking and really just room temperature coffee.
And that's the way you do. Saint Coletta's prayer, that is a very standard thing in the Zebrowski household where you light a cigarette with a lit cigarette.
Yep.
It actually wasn't until after Joe Kennedy had a stroke in 1961, 20 years after the lobotomy, that most of her siblings were told where she was. But 3 years before that, one of them had already figured it out. While he was gearing up to run for president, JFK actually went and visited Rosemary. And because he was so moved by her plight, this is actually a good thing.
Oh.
The last piece of legislation JFK signed before he was killed gave rights to intellectually disabled Americans for the first time in our history.
Aww.
I gotta tell you, Rosemary, I'm looking at the cottage, I'm looking at the way you're living, and all I gotta say,
It's a bummer.
It is a bummer. Oh.
Because it's got to almost be, because true, because from what we've read about JFK, he had his ups and downs, but it seems like in certain moments, he was a very good man.
Yeah. Yes.
And there's also that other moment, too, of like, you're running for president, and then you're like, what happened to Rosemary? Like, I'm running for fucking president right now, and no one told me this shit. We had no clue, but, you know, in the end, because originally, the family would sit around the table and have intellectual discourse, right? That was the whole thing, is that he would pit the family against each other. Joe Sr. would make everybody debate each other, and he decided who win, who won, like who won, who lost. They'd have like sports competitions against each other. They would boat race, all this kind of bullshit. And so they always knew that Rosemary was never really a part of all this. And at some point she just went away, and it's just, you know, you feel like they could have asked those questions earlier.
Well,
but don't know what do you do up against, again, Joe Sr., a quote-unquote very important man.
What do you do when your parents just take your sister away? It's like, I mean, it's a tough thing to bring up at dinner, I guess.
I mean, a couple of them did make it up. Like, JFK signed that legislation. Eunice Kennedy, Rosemary's sister, founded the Special Olympics.
Aww. Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, she said that Rosemary wasn't really the inspiration for that, but,
she could have. I wish she did. That would be nice if she showed that. That's all she needed to do.
She was honest about it. Yeah.
Well, my little brother, he is a Special Olympic hero, and he's been kicking ass for a long time. And the nice thing about Special Olympics, you get to just scream at people because you're there supporting your brother. And then you're like, you're a loser. Go, Mikey. You suck. Go, Mikey. And it's really fun. And everyone adds a different level. There is no such thing as being disabled, just differently abled. And everyone adds a different level of love to the world, don't they?
Of course. As far as how long Rosemary's life was, she survived not only all of her siblings save Ted, she even survived JFK Jr.
Damn.
Oh my God.
Rosemary Kennedy died from natural causes on January 7th, 2005.
Oh my God.
At the age of 86.
Okay. I didn't know that. I thought, she lived a long time.
Was there could she have Joe? I mean, I guess we talked about it in the lobotomy series. You feel like nothing, right? You feel like no highs, no lows. So she was just sort of.
She was cared for by nuns. Like, that's what she had.
Did she have any fun? I mean, like, I don't know. Like, what was her life like?
They had, they bought her a car. She didn't drive, but they would, you know, the nuns would take her out on rides where she'd go out because she was intellectually 2 years old, you know? So,
God. So she went and did what Puffin does for fun?
Yeah.
Yeah. Puffin was such a great co-pilot. Dog is my co-pilot. That's what I say. And he was so perfect all across the country.
Yeah. I'm going to kill you. You've become the biggest saleswoman from Michael's that I've ever seen.
And her lobotomy actually became public knowledge before she died. It became public knowledge in 1987.
Wow.
Now, that's the case of a famous botched lobotomy. Another case involved a 12-year-old boy named Howard Dooley, who was given the infamous ice pick lobotomy in 1960, long after lobotomies were considered proper or necessary.
Yeah, these are like, this is a latter period lobotomy.
Right.
This is when Walter Freeman, in parlance of serial killers, he was in his fucking, like, frenzy, right? He had gone full, like, trying to get as many as possible, trying to keep them legit, and people were just paying him money to do them because at this point, he was like, it's a preventative measure.
Yeah,
this
right.
is to make it so, like, so people don't get too bad. It's just a little ding, 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 ding. That's all it is.
Who do you think caused more harm as a doctor? Harold Shipman or Dr. Friedman?
Ooh.
Like, truly. Because, I mean, Harold Shipman, you know, obviously he murdered over 200 people, you know.
I would say Freeman, because it was tens of thousands of people who are subjected to lobotomies.
Yep. And they had to live lives, and it helped, what was it, like 20%? Something like that, it quote-unquote helped. We just nullified their symptoms.
Right. Really, he probably killed more than people than Shipman did, because lobotomies had a fatality rate of 9%.
Oh my God! Yeah, so do that math.
Yeah,
9% of 10,000
and 60,000.
Henry, Henry, do that math real quick.
Oh,
Henry,
no.
What do you think the number would be?
Oh, 4,500.
Okay, I'll take it.
Let me try to see it. Let me see if I did it.
So you can tell me anything.
60% times, I'm just doing it on my laptop, 0.9%.
Uh-huh.
0.9.
5,400.
5,400. All right. You undershot it, but that's good. So he is definitely one of the biggest serial killers in the history of serial killers.
Well, it wasn't just him that did the lobotomies. That also
included everybody.
That also includes other people, like other psychiatrists who were not surgeons who performed ice pick lobotomies.
Gotcha.
He's still responsible. It's more like if the writers of the Macarena, if the Macarena killed 9% of the people who did it.
Right. Writers of the Macarena or Lou Bega, who has killed more people with their hit? Mambo number five.
I want to find out. Oh, yeah. Because, yeah, Mambo number six is supposed to come out after quarantine, but I think it does involve him killing a woman. I'm not certain.
Well, in the case of Howard Dooley, he was given a lobotomy at 12 years old, not because he suffered from any mental problems, but because he was suffering behavioral problems exacerbated by the abuse of an evil stepmother, who, not so coincidentally, pushed for the lobotomy.
Uh-oh.
When Howard was 4 years old, his biological mother died in childbirth, and 3 years after that, his father remarried to a woman named Lou, who began abusing Howard soon after she moved in. Now, this is like, I mean, Howard could have gone one of two ways, either lobotomy or serial killer, because this is a serial killer's mother.
Damn.
She started inspecting Howard's anus regularly, and if she didn't like what she saw, she'd take a washcloth and vigorously wipe, all while complaining about how dirty of a boy he was.
I don't like it.
Mommy dearest, mommy dearest, my butthole is definitely clean enough.
Damn.
I don't like it. I don't want anybody to spit shine down there, and I don't want it to be reflective.
No.
It's bad for a child.
Absolutely not.
When Howard was bad, Lou would take down his pants, drape him over her knee, and spank him bare butt, all while screaming about how he was every kind of moron in the world. And by the way, moron comes from eugenics.
No kidding.
Yep. It was a medical classification.
Yep.
Oh, interesting. I thought it was something like, that's too stupid to even say. I was going to say something like there's a lot of Rons, and then it was like, oh, that's a moron. There's more Rons than Todds. But see, that's the dumbest thing I've ever said in my life, and I'm going
to
die.
This is what I'm saying. This is the type of test that would be administered to you to find out Kissel. In fact, you are scientifically a moron.
I might need a lobotomy. No, there's more Rons than there are Teds. I'm going to die.
You are legally a moron.
Well, eventually, the spankings escalated to being beaten with a metal vacuum cleaner hose. This kid was getting horribly abused.
So sad.
And these vacuum cleaners now are just so flimsy. You can't beat anybody with them.
This is a 1960s vacuum cleaner when people bought stuff for life. Do you remember that when your parents were like, you're going to have that forever? And then immediately Walmart was like, but what if you throw it away in 6 months and buy a new shit?
What if they always fall apart and they're built to fall apart?
The thing was, Howard wasn't a bad kid. The worst thing he did is he liked scaring people. He liked hiding behind doors and like jumping out for like a little fun scare.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's what I like to do.
Yeah. And sometimes he'd steal food because Lou forbade eating between official meals.
Oh my God. Come on.
He was just a kid.
But because he was treated like a bad kid, he started acting like a bad kid.
Right.
He started shoplifting, and in a move that is very common amongst sexually abused children, he started playing with his own feces. A lot of sexually abused kids do that. If you see a kid doing that, call the police.
Oh my.
Okay. It's the truth. It's like, because they are taught this weird obsession with their, he is being molested. Essentially, he's being molested during this time period.
But when Howard was taken to see psychiatrists, six of them, by records, all six said that Howard was just a normal kid. And four of those six said that the problem was very specifically stepmother Lou.
Right.
So Lou kept searching for someone to tell her that she was right. And eventually she found Walter Freeman.
Ugh.
See, by the 60s, Freeman was pretty much out of the game as advances in medication had made the lobotomy obsolete as far as the public went. He was no longer the new science kid on the scene. Mm. In fact, he had lost his job at GWU, and people were finally starting to look like, hey, he probably shouldn't have been doing that. Nobody should have been doing that.
Right.
So Freeman thought that perhaps a new path to relevance and notoriety would be not in giving lobotomies to adults with mental problems, but instead giving them to children. Getting them early.
He had like a eureka moment where it's like, what about kids? They're everywhere.
Yeah, he had this like idea that he could stop whatever quote unquote behavioral problems in a child, because this is at the time when they would stuff like a kid who was bad and they couldn't, or they quote unquote bad, or just like literally either bored
right.
or acting out, or this kind of like just behavioral problems. They started saying stuff like, yeah, schizophrenia. Like mm-hmm. he started calling them, like labeling them with very intense mental disorders.
Yeah.
When a lot of times they were just normal kids that were either had excess energy or were being abused or had other things going on. But when you're six, I don't know if you can have schizophrenia.
No.
I don't know.
I think that's horrible. I mean, I take it from me. I'm a father of a foster father of a 9-month-old Dachshund Chihuahua. Kids are crazy. And Jerry
they really are.
Is insane. But when they sleep, it makes up for it, doesn't it? Because it's so cute. It's so cute.
Yes. You sit and watch them. I always watch kids sleep.
Yeah. Well, no, the dog. But when the kids sleep too, it's cute. Yeah.
So when Lou and Howard showed up at Freeman's office, Freeman ignored anything that little Howard had to say, and even ignored the fact that most of his behavior was normal. He instead opted to listen solely to the evil stepmother because her narrative was easily shaped into childhood schizophrenia.
And we do have to clarify, a lot of stepmothers are amazing. The majority of stepmothers out there, happy Mother's Day. Because
Happy
you, too,
Mother's
are a
Day.
Mother. You, too, are
you
a mother.
You, too, are a mother.
Yes.
Stop having sex with the kids.
Well, yes, then you're bad. Then
that's I know
a
that
bad
they're legal.
Oh, you're talking.
I know that
you're...
they're horny. They don't know how to masturbate. They're in school from, they're home from hot dog school or some kind of made up thing.
Yep.
Stop blowing your stepkids.
Also, Pornhub has got to get better because I don't want to have to do all this. I don't want to have to yell at you, Pornhub. But Pornhub needs
to change. Is very bad right now, and we have to boycott Pornhub because they need to figure out their child pornography bullshit.
If only there was another outlet to find porn, I don't know where it could find it. Where is it?
Well, as far as the other family members went, Howard's father later claimed that Freeman and his wife Lou had manipulated him into believing the procedure was safe and normal. And he also said, this is probably more the truth, Lou told him that either the boy gets a lobotomy or she gets a divorce.
He said, give
the kid the fucking lobotomy.
Damn.
And you know that she was just so lovely. You can't miss out on being around her.
Worth
I actually
it.
Don't particularly understand this whole line of thought. The one thing I can maybe speak to is that there is like he thought that like women handle the children. This is like another old school like thought line. And it's like, well, whatever she says goes because she's on the kid department. I go to the bullet factory and I go to the war and I try not to die. And that's all I do.
But the interesting thing is the change, right, in culture. If fathers used to sort of be in charge of the whole family, including the children, I guess at some point dads were just like, you know, I don't care anymore. Like, yuck. Just like you take care of it.
Yeah. And so Howard went in for a transorbital lobotomy at 12 years old.
Ugh.
Now, because Freeman was still working with his old electroshock machine that, remember, had no dials and no toggle, it took 4 rounds of electroshock before this 12-year-old boy finally passed out so Freeman could do the ice pick into his eyeballs.
He used his electroshock machine like the prairie mother. What's her name? It's prairie chef. The prairie chef cooks where everything's like, just a little bit of handful of this. That's all you need. I don't use measuring cups.
Right.
And it's like, no, man. That's not how you should be shocking the human brain.
No.
It should be as casual as a pesto recipe.
Well, it's a great way to make an unbelievable home-cooked biscuit, but yeah.
Well, I mean, Freeman was proud of this. You can find pictures online of Howard Dooley getting this lobotomy because Freeman was documenting the whole fucking thing. It's one of the most disturbing pictures I've ever seen. It's a 12-year-old boy passed out from electroshock therapy. His eyes are rolled in the back of his head, and all you see is an ice pick coming from the top of the frame going into his fucking brain.
Oh, God.
And so Freeman, he shoved the ice pick into both sockets, did the standard wiggle, and performed a lobotomy on a boy whose brain had not even fully developed yet.
Jeez.
Now, as we said, Freeman was still grasping for relevance. So, in an attempt to regain the spotlight, he gave a presentation at the Langley Porter Clinic in San Francisco and actually brought Howard on stage, along with other children Freeman had lobotomized. Howard was by no means the only child that he did a lobotomy on a four-year-old kid.
And he did, in order to make it as haunting as possible, he put them all in Harlequin outfits, and they all sang in weird, eerie, synchronized fashion, "I'd like to buy the world a Coke," and he had a skeleton man come out going like, "Do you know how to die? I will show you how to die." And they just clapped, and they loved it, and they voted for Nixon for president.
That's great. All right, Dr. Freeman, thank you. That was such a great addition to the talent show. Next up, Tiny Tim. And after Tiny Tim, we have David Icke coming out here to tell you all about reptilians.
So after talking for a bit about the procedure and asking the lobotomized children a few questions to prove that he hadn't destroyed their brains completely, he opened it up to the audience for questions. First question, how old is that kid? Pointing to Howard. And when Freeman said 12, the audience erupted in outrage.
Good. They're saying boo? It's like it's the standard. No, they're saying boo earns. Boo earns. They're loving this. They fucking love this.
All right. So this is actually the only, this is a redeeming part of the story where people rightfully were pissed.
Yeah. And it seems like Freeman was prepared for this reaction because Freeman, ever the showman, had brought along a prop. As soon as the audience turned on him, Freeman dumped a box of Christmas cards from grateful patients on the stage. He then yelled, and this is a true quote,
"These are from my patients. How many Christmas cards do you get from your patients?"
You're basing your entire practice and its relevancy on Christmas cards?
They also were all made like infantile, feeble people that were forced to write Christmas cards to the doctor. I don't think a lot of them chose to even write them.
Now, this naturally didn't turn the crowd, and Freeman was booed off stage. And I think that was his last public appearance.
What is this, Miracle on 34th Street? I think that's the same defense that they used for Santa Claus.
Damn.
Then, in order to further justify his decision to lobotomize Howard Dooley, Freeman added a note to Howard's file post-lobotomy that said Howard was suspected of beating his baby brother nearly to death, breaking ribs and caving in the baby's chest. Now, this did happen, but Howard had nothing to do with it. It had been an accident. A neighborhood boy had been playing a little too rough, and Howard was nowhere near it. Jeez. But Freeman thought, if I write this down afterwards, then this will be justified.
What a piece of shit.
Amazingly, though, Howard Dooley, after many hard years in and out of institutions and a brief dalliance with cocaine in the 80s, he ended up living a pretty good life and even wrote a book about his experience called My Lobotomy. Now, of course, that road was highly difficult and filled with all sorts of awful shit that you'll have to read his book to discover. There's a lot of bad shit.
His life was a series of calamities and fucking just bad luck.
But still, he made it. And the reason why comes with a fair amount of irony. See, Walter Freeman had done this unnecessary procedure while Howard's brain was still developing. A human brain doesn't fully develop, I think, until you're in your late teens, early 20s.
I'm pretty sure it's 72 years old, and then it immediately starts to collapse right after.
And because the brain was putting itself together, it essentially adapted to the ice pick wounds and found new ways to stitch itself up. Reason why this is ironic is because this is exactly what Egas Moniz theorized the brain would do back when he originated the lobotomy, except an adult brain is not capable of regeneration. So Egas's theory could not have been more wrong.
So he was still wrong. So he was wrong and wrong again, but he was wrong in a way that could have been right if he was right.
But still wrong.
Yeah. Instead, while Freeman's lobotomy on Dooley would have incapacitated an adult, MRI scans done in 2005 showed that all this almost teenage lobotomy did was make life harder for Howard Dooley.
Oh. man.
Good Lord. Well, now I'm glad that we don't have to worry about it now, because the medical world and the world of private health insurance has fixed so much stuff.
So good.
Things
so
are
good.
Just... They were doing really good.
Yep.
I think it's great that a lot of coverage, a lot of private insurance companies aren't covering COVID-19. I think people should earn Yay. That fact. I think they should go work in a factory, at a doctor factory, where they're making lab coats and masks in order to receive treatment. I think that's the only fair way to do it.
It's great. You know, I've been spending 5 days on the phone arguing with an insurance company to give me a medication that my psychiatrist says is necessary for me to live a normal, healthy life. And I couldn't be happier about it.
Well, Marcus, I think you need a lobotomy. That'll cure it all. Of course, the medication, that is a horrible situation. We're going to talk about that on Able Against Top Hat when it comes to the medication. They're charging about $700 a pill. That's what the average pill is going to be going for yep. COVID. Yay.
My new medication costs out of pocket $1,200 a month.
Oh, my
insurance doesn't pay. And I'm having to argue with my insurance to tell them that it's necessary.
More lobotomies. That's the answer.
Oh, my God. Well, I was going to... This is sad. I was going to try to find other things to talk about, because I was really interested in the idea of other people hiding their children.
Yeah.
And the one fun one I found was
found
called The Mystery of... There was one fun one, but it was just... It's not that fun. It was called The Monster of Gloms. It's by Mike Dash for SmithsonianMagazine.com. And it is... It's a fascinating story about this... A family line in Scotland... That the Earl's ancestral seat at Glom's Castle, right? Mm. This was this place, the Earl of Strathmore, where they had a room that they apparently had hid the heir to the family line that had become like a half toad, half man creature, and it became this sort of ghost story
cool.
for many, many years. And subsequent generations of each following family member that would become the Earl of Strathmore would try to find out if it was true or not, and find, because a lot of castles at the time had secret rooms specifically for if they were going to be attacked, essentially panic rooms. And so it was not uncommon for people to have these sort of like secret areas where they can go and hide, and they would not tell anybody where they were. They were normally family secrets. And they said that they had buried essentially this one heir that was too reprehensible to look upon, which is now, if you think upon it, it's actually very sad.
This is a side quest in Witcher 3.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
The really? Castle Glom.
This is exactly a side quest in Witcher 3. Oh, that's fun.
It's really fun. It's an interesting story, but again, and deeply sad.
It is. if you can't have a half-toad, half-man king in the Castle Glom, then what can you have?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And I want I'll worship the half-toad king.
Sure.
Well, I am the half-toad king. I probably would be considered a half-toad king because I got fucking bow legs. That's what Jackie told me recently. I've got fucking bow legs, and it's the only thing I can fucking think about. She put another complex in my mind.
You need a lobotomy.
And then the other, I'm just going to give you this resource just because, like, it's going to be a bummer of a July 4th weekend. So why not just really fucking bury yourself in the worst shit you've ever read?
Sure.
Yeah, it's called hsinvisiblechildren.org, and it's called Homeschooling's Invisible Children. And it is all about the horrors of homeschooling. And it's not always horrible.
No.
But it seems that sometimes it is.
I was homeschooled for 2 years. We had a great time. I would go to Piggly Wiggly with my mother. We never went to school. I didn't learn anything. Maybe
you didn't
it's
learn to read. You almost didn't learn to read.
I know. I knew how to read. I picked that up very, very quickly. Reading was never a problem. It was more of the math. It was the math that was the problem. Yeah.
And that's why you're not an engineer right now.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
But yeah, that's the stuff I was looking at too. But the Monster of Gloms is really, it's a very interesting, that was what I was looking for more of, is like gothic stories.
Yeah.
And there's just not a lot of them. Because that story, that concept has come up quite a bit in fiction. But this is the one that was like, everyone's kind of saying was real. And that there's a couple details into it. Maybe I'll cover it on Side Stories a little bit more. A little bit more detail, or maybe Last Podcast on the Left proper can do something along the lines of gothic literature made real.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Season 12.
All right, everyone, there it is. A bit of an extension on our lobotomy conversation. Absolutely fascinated. I'm very happy they aren't happening anymore. If you know that they are happening anywhere, just go shut that right down.
They are.
They are happening.
They are
great.
For
good,
extreme
good
cases. for very, very extreme cases. I also had a lot of people reach out to me about that have been using ECT nowadays, that and it has helped them quite a bit. So that has gotten very refined in terms of how they use it. It's still weird that they don't know how it works.
No, I actually talked to my psychiatrist recently about, us making the joke about, you know, how my medication might stop at any time. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, yeah, we're in the Middle Ages when it comes to understanding the brain. We're out of the Dark Ages, but we're definitely in the Middle Ages. We have no idea.
Well, like, can you please stop telling me these things? Just tell me that things are covered, okay? I just need you to fucking lie to me right now until I get my prescription.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Well, we hope you enjoy your July 4th weekend to the best of your abilities. Get some sparklers. And hang out with people that are close to you that you've been with. You know all the freaking rules. We don't have to tell you that. I was listening to Steve Earle's show on Outlaw Country, and he talked
about
COVID.
Outlaw Country!
He talked about COVID for like 20 minutes, and I'm like, Steve Earle, just be Steve Earle. I don't need to hear it from you. We know, you all know what to do. So have as much fun as you possibly can, and we wish you a wonderful weekend. You can always still grill out and have a little, have some burgers.
Yeah, stand outside, wear a mask. Do your shit.
You know
what
to do.
Take care of yourself. Take care of your fucking families.
Absolutely.
We got to look out for each other because nobody up top who gives a rat's fucking ass about how we're doing. So we have to make sure that we take care of each other.
They are completely incapable. It is on us. And I just want to say, as a person who just traveled across this fine country, every single person that I had contact with was so unbelievably nice. You know, I want to thank Oli's big game, Deb, who works there in Paxton, Nebraska. She was so sweet. But, you know, just remember that because, everyone was just really incredible. And Walmart's a waking nightmare, though. Never go to Walmart. Yep. That was very stress-inducing. I went there and I forgot what that is. So that's scary. But this, everyone, it was really great. And if you get a chance to travel across this country, please do. And again, you'll realize we got space. We got plenty of space for a lot of people.
Go to lastpodcastmerch.com to go check out, because now once a month we're doing fan art celebrations, putting it on a t-shirt.
Yes.
We're trying to get people exposure. We have such talented people who
Unreal.
Listen to the show.
Unreal.
Oh, it's really awesome. And so check it out. This month's shirt is done by @evil_genius_pro and @Corey_is_inking. So
that just rolls right off the tongue. Everyone knows exactly how to do that robot sentence that you just said.
I don't know. I'm just saying, go on the internet.
And we're not just paying these people in exposure. We're actually paying our fans to do this shit. So, yeah, be sure to support artists out there as much as you can right now, because artists very much need our support. And you know, I'm not going to say these trying times, but what the
Please
fuck else
don't.
Do you say?
Don't fucking say it. I'm so
Today,
fucking sick
right
of these
now,
trying times.
Artists need it. Artists need help. So just help out artists.
And if you're
Give
a nurse,
them money. They need it. Art is not fucking this dumb shit. Like, it's not unnecessary. I feel like it's one of those things. Yeah. It's not
it's
unnecessary.
Very necessary.
Help these people.
It's very necessary. If you're a nurse, don't push the baby in. Let the baby out. Let the baby
Let
out.
It all the way out. Let it
Let
just
it
breathe
all
a little
the way
bit.
Out. Always. That's what we've said. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Love you as always. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Hail Gene.
Magustalations, everyone.
Hail me. Hand me the wind beneath your wings.
Oh, that's kind of nice.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.